Her nose chose that moment to comment on the smell of dinner, which she had been forking into her mouth without thinking about it. She hadn't noticed anything for days, but now a smell got through, and she realized that her mouth was full of ganache stew. She hated ganache stew.
Ugh.
Come play ball, Lieutenant?
Esme's mind thrashed around, not finding a name for the pleasant-faced young woman. Baron would have known. Baron had not been around for a while. Therapy. He probably felt like she did, in no mood for games. She needed an excuse.
No thanks. I need to work out. Maybe another day.
From there to the gym, uncrowded in the aftermath of the battles, she climbed on one of the treadmills. When she glanced aside, her gaze caught on the mechanism of the virtual horse. She had not been on one in her entire fleet career. If she didn't enjoy riding real horses, why bother with a simulator?
It wouldn't smell like a real one.
The thought insinuated itself, and her mind threw up a picture of Lucy on the brown mare, the two graceful young animals enjoying movement. Pain stabbed her. Had she been, could she have been like Lucy? Could she have had that grace?
Evening, Lieutenant.
A jig moved past her to the horse. He mounted clumsily, and Esme could tell by the machine's movement that he had set it for basic mode, a slow trot in a straight line. Even so, he was off rhythm, posting just behind the beat. She could do better. Even now she could do better, and she knew it. Her mind threw up images of speed and beauty and grace, of Lucy, and almost tickling at the edge of awareness of herself. On the wall of Annie's room, a flat screen displayed a vague, misty landscape in soft greens and golds. Nothing like Altiplano, where the mountains stood out crisply against the sky. But it was a planet. She felt grounded by even that little.
In your culture, part of the global definition of woman or girl is someone to be protected. You were a girl, and you were not protected.
Esme curled into the Afghan, not quite shivering, and focused on its texture, its warmth. Someone had crocheted it by hand. She spotted a flaw in the pattern.
A child's reasoning is different. You were not protected, so your child's mind, protecting your father as children do, and the more strongly because your mother had just died, your child's mind decided that either you were not really a girl, or you were not a good girl, and in either case, you did not deserve protection. My guess would be that your mind, for reasons of its own, chose the not really a girl branch.
Why do you say that?
Because of your behavior as an adolescent and adult. The ones who think they're bad girls act like bad girls, whatever that means for their culture of origin. For you, I suppose it would have been having affairs with anything that had a Y chromosome. You've been conspicuously good, at least that's what your fitness reports say. But you haven't formed any lasting relationships with either sex. Also, you've chosen a career at odds with your culture's definition of women. As if you were a son rather than a daughter.
But that's just Altiplano.
Yes, but that's where you were raised. That's what formed your deepest attitudes towards the basics of human behavior. Do you fit in as a woman in your society?
Well, no.
Are you far enough from their norm to make them uneasy?
Yes. Does that mean I'm not really a woman now?
Heavens, no. By the standards of Fleet, and most of the rest of Familias, your interests and behaviors are well within the definition. Celibacy's unusual, but not rare. Besides, you haven't considered it a problem until now, have you?
Esme shook her head.
My guess, and it's only a guess, not an expert opinion, is that when you've got the rest of this straightened out, you'll find it easy to decide whether you want a partner. And if you do, you'll find one.
Session after session, in that quiet, cozy room with its soft textures, its warm colors, she had quit dreading them, though she wished they weren't necessary. It still seemed slightly indecent to spend so much time talking about herself and her family, especially when Annie refused to excuse her family for their mistakes.
We're dealing in reality here, and the reality is that they made what happened to you worse. Their response left you feeling less competent and more helpless.
But I was helpless.
Yes and no. In one way, any child that age is helpless against an adult. They lacked the physical strength to defend themselves without help. But physical helplessness and the sensation of helplessness are not quite the same thing.
I'm confused. If you're helpless, you feel helpless.
Let me try again. Did you feel helpless in a rainstorm?
No.
You might be frightened in some situations, but not helpless. When adults impose responsibility on a child for events the child could not control, the child is helpless to refuse it, or the guilt that follows.
And that's what they did.
Yes.
So when I got angry, when I found out...
A reasonable reaction.
I'm still angry with them.
Of course.
But you said I'd get over it.
In years, not days. Give yourself time. You have a lot to be angry about.
I suppose there are worse things.
We're not talking about other people's problems here. We're talking about yours. You were not protected. And when you were hurt, they lied to you. As a result, you had a lot of bad years and missed a lot of normal growing experiences.
I could have...
Esme, I can guarantee one thing about your child self before this happened.
What?
You had iron will. The universe is lucky that your family did get a sense of responsibility into you, because if you'd chosen the bad branch, you'd have been a criminal beyond compare.
Esme had to laugh at that. She even agreed to take the neuroactives Annie said she was ready for. It was the first time since Baron's release from sickbay that they'd had a chance to talk. They had come to the wall, but no one was climbing. Just as well. Esme didn't feel like climbing anyway. When she looked at the wall, she saw the outside of the ship, the vast surfaces that always seemed to be just over vertical.
So, how's it going with the psych stuff?
I hate it. It wasn't too bad when I started, just talking to Annie. It actually helped, I think. But then she insisted I go to that group thing.
I hate that, too. Waste time. Some of them just ramble on and on, never getting anywhere.
Yeah, I thought it would be scary and painful, but half the time I'm just bored.
Sam says that's why therapy happens in special times and places, because listening to someone talk about themselves for hours is boring unless you're trained to do something in response.
Sam's your psych nanny?
Yes. I wish you were in my group. I'm still having trouble talking about it to them. They want to make a big thing about the physical damage, the broken bones and all. That's not what was worst.
What was worse, then?
Not being who I'm supposed to be. Not being able to do anything. I didn't manage to put a scratch on them. Slow them down, anything.
I have trouble forgiving myself, too. Even though I know in my mind that it wasn't possible, it still feels as if it was my weakness, mental weakness, that didn't stop them.
My group keeps telling me there was nothing I could do, but it feels different to me. Sam says I haven't heard it from the right person yet.
From your family?
He means me. He thinks I think too much about the family. I'm supposed to make my own standards, he says, and judge myself that way. He never had a grandmother like mine.
Or a grandfather like mine. But I see his point. Would it help if your grandmother told you you'd done as much as you could?
Not really. I thought about that, and I know what I'd think if she did. Poor Baron. Have to cheer him up. Give him a boost. I don't want to be poor Baron. I want to be who I was before.
That won't work. That's the one thing that won't work. You can't be who you were. You can only become someone else that you can live with.
Is that all we can hope for, Ez? Just acceptable? I'm not happy with that. If I have to change, fine, I'll change, but I want to be someone I can respect and like, not just someone I can live with.
You Serranos have high standards.
Well, there's this Sweeza around who keeps setting me an example.
Esme didn't want to be the one setting examples. She hadn't been able to live up to any. New Insight pounced on that, turned it inside out, put it in the imaginary sun to air. As a child, she had copied the people she loved and admired. She had tried to be what they wanted, as much as she understood it. Where she had failed was not only not her fault. It wasn't, in the larger context of the Fleet and Familius Regnant, even failure. Fleet seemed to think she had set an acceptable example. Now that the Kosciusko was back with its companions, she heard rumors of the reactions in high places. Her head cleared, little by little, from the initial murk of therapy. She saw that Patak and Ceviche were not just tolerating her weak need for therapy, they wanted her to take the time she needed. The ensigns and jigs at her table at mess treated her with the exact flavor of respectful attention which a lifetime's experience of the military told her meant genuine affection. They liked her, they respected her, and not her fame or her background, which they didn't know anyway. She was the only Suiza, the only Altiplanin, any of them had ever met, and they liked her. With reason, Annie said when she confessed her embarrassment, her confusion. Slowly, she came to believe it, each day's experience layering a thin glaze of belief over the self-doubts. Esme peered out the observation ports to the patterns of lights on T1 and T5. She and Baron had found a quiet corner of the crafts activity compartment. The climbing club was busy on the wall, and Baron had confessed he felt no more eagerness for climbing than she did. She thought he looked a lot better. She knew she felt better. She had had no nightmares for the past 20 days and was beginning to hope they were gone forever.
I could get attached to the old girl. She's an amazing ship.
Baron looked up from the model he was putting together, the skeleton of some exotic beast. She could not read his expression, but she saw tension in the muscles of his face.
You're going to transfer to maintenance command?
It's tempting. There's a lot more to learn here.
Fine for a sponge.
Fretting, are we? Eager to get back to the real fleet?
Well, therapy's going well, even the group part. It may even, in the very long run, turn out to be something worthwhile.
Look out, all admirals. Someone's after your job?
Not quite. By the time I get to that age, there may be no slots for new admirals anyway. That's another reason to get back into my own track as soon as possible. How's your stuff going?
Stuff? I'm not shy about it, Baron. The sessions have helped. I still wish I knew how much of the change was me and how much was in those medications, but they say it doesn't matter.
So what are you gonna do? Back into technical track and a scan?
I'm transferring. If they approve, which I hope they will, so far they're being encouraging.
Transfer to what, you annoying woman?
Command track. I think it's time if you dirtborn outsiders health command.
Yes! Please, when you get your first legal command, wangle me a place in your crew.
Wangle? You Serranos can wangle all you want, but Suizas expect to earn command.
Gods help us all. We let the Suizas off Altiplano.
Let?
Esme reached out and tickled him. Startled, he dropped the model onto the desk.
You touched me.
I'm an idiot.
No, you're human, overwhelmed by my charm.
You wish.
Yes, I do.
With a sudden change of expression, he slowly reached out and touched her cheek.
I do wish an alliance with this Suiza of Altiplano. Not just because Suiza has pulled Serrano out of trouble twice now, but because I do like you, admire you, and most desperately wish you'd like me enough to welcome me into your life and into your bed.
Baron,
though not if the prospect disgusts you, of course. Only if... I never thought you'd touch me, aside from whacking me with your elbow in a wall ball game.
Look, I'm inexperienced to the point of total ignorance. Barring what I saw in the farm as a girl, which involved biting and kicking and hobbles.
Esme.
Inexperienced, I said. Not, you will notice, unwilling.
In the long silence that followed, watching the shifting expressions play over his face, feeling the first feather touch of his fingers on her face, on her hair, Esme laid the last fiery ghost to rest.